I greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I want to continue this series of studies that we are doing on the subject of spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. This is a very important subject, and in the first presentation of this subject, I just shared with you the background of this whole idea of offering sacrifices to God. The fact that the background is that Israel in the Old Testament, even going clear back to the time of Cain and Abel, when Abel offered blood sacrifices to God, there was a system that God had set up by which men could express their repentance from sin and their looking forward to the Savior who would someday come, the Lord Jesus Himself. And as we got into this subject, we were discussing the fact that we ourselves are in danger of offering the wrong kind of sacrifices to God. In Israel, I pointed out, the people of Israel would often substitute the things God wanted in their hearts for the physical sacrifices they were offering to God. It was God's intention from the very beginning that when a person offered a blood sacrifice to Him, that sacrifice would be offered in righteousness and in deep sorrow over sin and a deep desire to walk closely with the Lord. But the people of Israel became so hardened in their hearts that they often would substitute the physical sacrifices for the condition of heart that God wanted. And so God had to punish these people. In the book of Malachi, in fact, they asked the question, why is it that you treat us this way? Why do you not listen to our prayers? And God was saying, because your hearts are far from me. Your hearts are far from me. And so as we are continuing this subject, I want us each to approach each of these things that we will be speaking of in a very humble way and in a very broken way, asking God if the things we're offering to God in our church attendance, in our observances, in the gifts we give to the church and other things, if these things really are acceptable to Him, and whether or not there may be some things in our hearts that we need to correct. I want to speak today about the subject of obedience. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 25, God has this to say, "It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all of these commandments before the Lord our God as He has commanded us." Now, the book of Deuteronomy is a review of the whole system that God had given them, the whole teaching of the law. Moses is going through this teaching of the law again and again. But now we come to this key verse, "It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God." In other words, God was asking for them and asking from them not just simply surface obedience to His word. Yes, we read your law, we follow your law, and we will observe your law. He wanted heart obedience. And this subject of obedience comes up a number of times in the Scriptures. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, for instance, we find a great king whom God had appointed and anointed as king. This king's name was King Saul. Saul was the first of the kings of Israel. The people had demanded a king. God yielded to their request. And then God chose this man Saul to be the first king. However, we notice in chapter 13 that for the first time Saul disobeyed God. And God warned him then. God said to him, "I'm going to search for a man after my own heart." There was a problem of obedience in this man's life. Sometimes kings would feel, "I am so important that God cannot do without me." I think Moses felt this way when he disobeyed God. I think David felt this way in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 when he sinned against God. "I am so important that God cannot do without me." Sometimes we in our Christian lives feel the same way, that God has known that I've been a Christian for so many years. God cannot do without me. He will not touch my life, in other words. And this, of course, is not true. So in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, God gave this king a very, very clear command. And this command was he was to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And this king did almost what God told him to do, but didn't quite do what God told him to do. And so rather than completely destroying them, he spared the king. And then he spared the best of the cattle. God didn't want anything from that nation. That nation was an abomination to God, that nation of the Amalekites. God wanted them completely destroyed. They had opposed Israel when Israel was trying to go into the land. And now God was going to punish them. And this king had the army, he had the forces, he had the power to do what God commanded him to do. But rather than doing exactly what God commanded him to do, he disobeyed in a small part. Now we notice, of course, that Saul did not really repent of what he had done. Rather, he lied to Samuel when Samuel came to him. He told him many lies. He said, well, you know, the people did it. And of course, Samuel had to call his attention to the fact that he was the king. He was not the people. He was the one who disobeyed. Then he talked about, well, you know, these cattle that I have saved, I'm going to offer them to God. I took the best of the cattle, and I want to give them all to God. And finally, Samuel had to say to them, there in chapter 15, hath the Lord as great, in verse 22, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What Samuel was saying was this: even if you offered to God a million of these sacrifices of the Amalekites, their cattle, even if you offered every one of them to God, God doesn't want these sacrifices. God wants obedience from you, and you did not give him obedience. So again he says, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and we could add even millions of them, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And then God delivers this terrible judgment upon this king. And God carried out this terrible judgment. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now this king continued to rule for several years, but God's blessing was removed from him. And immediately in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, God anointed David to be the king. Even though David didn't serve immediately because Saul was still in power, nevertheless, God's blessing was taken away from Saul and given to David instead. Now, what is the application of this passage to our lives today? We need to recognize, brothers and sisters, that obedience is very important to God. And many times, of course, we offer to God substitutes for obedience. We simply give to God more service, more church attendance, more gifts to the church, more good deeds that we seek to do. And God doesn't want us to make a substitute. Of course our church attendance is important. Of course our gifts to the church are important for the support of the work of God. Of course the good deeds that we seek to do daily by day are important. But God is looking into the heart. And when God sees that the heart is disobedient, God is going to deal with us. God cannot accept a substitute for a heart obedience to God. You'll notice again over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's a very wonderful, wonderful occasion for Israel. They have just now dedicated the temple of God. Solomon had been commissioned by God to build this beautiful, beautiful temple. And so now this temple had just been built. It was dedicated in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It was dedicated to God, and it was a joyous occasion for Israel. The temple was beautiful. Beyond all description, it was beautiful. There was gold in abundance in the temple and all kinds of beautiful pillars and structures there. And of course, Solomon was very impressed by the beauty of the temple. And of course, the most wonderful thing was that the presence of God had come there. And God's presence was dwelling there in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And so Solomon came out of this occasion very thrilled and very happy. He was very thrilled with the day and with all the sacrifices which had been offered. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of sacrifices offered during this time of dedication, these few days that they spent. But over in the last part of that passage, beginning in verse 12, God has a meeting with Solomon. And God calls Solomon's attention to a very, very important truth. And it's a truth of the fact that God was still looking in this nation for obedience. Now Solomon, of course, was impressed by the beauty of the temple, the fact that God was now dwelling among them in his presence. But God was especially emphasizing the fact that these things meant nothing to God if they were a substitute for obedience. And so God makes a terrible prediction. It must have been a shocking prediction to Solomon. Solomon must have wondered, why is God doing this, spoiling this day in this manner? No, God was trying to call their attention to the fact that God had a standard, and that standard was obedience to his word. And if they did not obey, God had a remedy for their disobedience. And so God predicted that if disobedience ever came, that this disobedience was going to be punished, and that there would be the day, in fact, when this temple would be torn down stone by stone by stone, God's presence would be removed from the temple, his blessing would be removed from the nation, and the nation would be carried away into captivity. Now this prediction was given many, many years before the Babylonians finally came into Israel and carried away the nation. But it was a prediction and a warning to Solomon that if you don't obey, if this nation does not obey, and at any point in their history, if they have disobedience, I am going to come and I'm going to punish them. Because it's not the temple that thrills me, God is saying. It is a fact that my presence is able to dwell with the people who are obeying me. And so we find again this warning that comes. God also gives the remedy for their condition if there ever comes a time of disobedience. He speaks of, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and so forth. And then he says, then will I hear from heaven, and then I will bless them. And so God gives the remedy there, but apparently they didn't follow this remedy when they finally turned against God. And they turned to total disobedience, even this southern nation of Judah, after the division of the kingdom. Even this southern nation turned to total disobedience. And so the temple was destroyed. And so I leave with you this warning from God. If you're offering to God sacrifices of gifts, of attendance, of your attempted good works, and all of these other things, but you're using these as a substitute for obedience to God and his word, then God will not permit you to go ahead. Do not expect the favor and blessing of God. God wants in your hearts a heartfelt obedience to his word, that you're walking in humble obedience, you're walking in submission to him, you're giving him your whole heart as you walk before him. And so I would pray for each of you that, first of all, you would know the Lord Jesus, and then in your hearts, you would follow him and obey him with all your hearts.